This is Tales from Agnes, 1972 flooding in the Chemung Valley, presented by the Arts Council of the Southern Finger Lakes to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the 1972 flood. Episode 4, Anecdotes from Agnes. Out of any event as catastrophic as Agnes, there arises a number of stories that are more than mere recountings. These take on a more anecdotal quality over time, and often provide a lighter, more comedic take on otherwise grave tales. In this episode, we will hear some of these stories. Connie Sullivan Bloom, who is the folklorist at the Arts Council of the Southern Finger Lakes, has had ample opportunity to hear this sort of story from community members.
I've been gathering flood stories from the community since about 2009. And I've heard a lot of really wonderful stories. Some of them have been stories of courage. Some of them have been stories of suffering. But I've also heard a couple of really funny stories. And one of them is about an exotic dancer who worked on Market Street. Now, in 1972, Market Street in Corning was very different than it is today. It was full of bars. It was kind of a gritty place. I've been told that there were about 117 bars on Market Street at that time. And people used to come out, men in particular, would come out from the factory at their lunch hour, and they would go to Market Street, and they would eat, and they would drink some beers. Well, there were a couple of strip clubs on Market Street as well. And at one of those strip clubs, there was a woman who used a boa constrictor in her act. Now, I can only imagine how she used that boa constrictor, and I'm not sure I even want to think about it, but she had this big snake that was a part of her exotic dance routine. When Hurricane Agnes hit Market Street, her snake was swept away along with so many other people's possessions, and she actually applied to the Housing and Urban Development for replacement funds for her boa constrictor. That's a true story. But while it's a true story, it has gained a kind of legendary status. And I have heard it placed on Market Street. I've heard it placed in Painted Post. It sort of becomes this regional catch-all as a description, a way to describe what Market Street was like then as compared to what it's like now.
Even without boa constrictors, the stories some have of the flood can be rather humorous. First, Casey Cox tells of her birth.
I was born in the middle of Agnes. A lot of the congratulations cards to my mom, congratulating her on my birth and the birth of her first child, arrived just completely water-soaked. We still have a lot of the envelopes that are water damage or with the ink running, and all of the newspaper clippings from, you know, saved from my birth, are headlines of the flood. So that's always interesting to me that I wasn't named Agnes. That would have been fun.
It has been proved in times of disaster that humans are not the only creatures under distress. Betty Arcangeli tells a humorous story involving her cat on the day Agnes hit.
I noticed then that our cat was acting rather strange. She would go to the cellar door, then back to me, back to the cellar door again. I finally went to inspect. From the top of the stairs, I could see her litter pan circling in several inches of water. She was very grateful when I finally recognized her dilemma and moved her pan upstairs. I'm very grateful that this rather funny story is the only one I have to tell about the storm.
Nature's denizens, too, can be a source of comedic value. When a group of bees found its home demolished by floodwaters, it decided to turn to terrorizing some local churchgoers. Ruth Atkinson tells the story.
The Sunday after the flood, we had a call for somebody to come and take care of a group of bees. They evidently had been dislodged by the flood and were flying around in a local church parking lot, bothering all the people who were trying to get into Sunday services. We were fortunate enough to find someone to come and collect the bees and lodge them someplace else. There were a lot of stories that day, but it was quite an experience, and so many people helped. It was something I'll always remember.
Not only animals, but children too provide humor in stories. David Higgins, who is only 10 years old, recalls a rather ironic memory of boyhood disappointment.
We knew very little of what was going on, and that being Elmira Heights, we didn't receive an awful lot of flooding, though the basement was flooded in all my father's National Geographics. My biggest memory is disappointment. Being a 10-year-old boy, I was kind of hoping for choppers in the skies and rescue vehicles, Randolph Mantooth from Emergency riding in a half track or something like that. And so that's the perspective of a 10-year-old.
Not all anecdotes are merely casual and humorous. Bill Whitmore's story is instead rather extraordinary. When the flood hit, he was stationed with the armed services in Iwakuni, Japan.
My birthday happens to be June 23rd, and I came into work on my birthday and opened up the front page of the Stars and Stripes. And on the front page, there was a photograph of Elmira underneath 10 foot of water. Now, I was born and raised in Elmira. My family has lived in Elmira, both sides of my family, for several generations before me. So, you know, needless to say, I was quite concerned when I saw that photograph on the front page of the Stars and Stripes. At the time, I was a corporal, and I asked my gunnery sergeant, I went up to him and said, "Gunny, I got to go." And he says, "Why?" And I pointed at the picture on the front page of the paper and said, "That's my hometown." And he says, "Well, get out of here. What are you waiting for?" So the only way I could call home was to go to the Mars radio station, which was a network of ham radios that was used at the time to make telephone calls from Iwakuni to the States. And they connect up with various Mars radio operators and ultimately put you in touch with somebody by telephone at the other end. So I couldn't get a hold of my parents. I had visions of them camping out up on West Hill in a tent because of what I saw in the paper. But finally, I was able to get a hold of a friend of mine who was going to college at Ithaca College, and gave him a call and found out that the flood hadn't actually reached Huffman Street. We used to live up across from Rudy's greenhouse, and it hadn't reached up that far, so my parents were safe. When I returned home, it was interesting. Everybody seemed to have a flood story, and everybody got together and told theirs. And instead of being left out, I just had this really unique slant. It happened on my birthday. I was in Japan, and I went through all kinds of contortions to get a phone call home to find out what was going on.
These lighter stories provide a necessary amount of mirth and levity among otherwise devastating tales. Next week, Tales from Agnes continues with its final episode, examining the disastrous aftermath of the flood and the ability of communities to recuperate after devastation and turmoil. Tales from Agnes is produced by Trevor Worthy and Connie Sullivan Bloom in collaboration with the Arts Council of the Southern Finger Lakes. Special thanks to the New York State Council on the Arts, a state agency, the Community Foundation of Elmira Corning and the Finger Lakes, Caitlin O'Leary, and the dozens of community members who contributed their stories.